You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
We really couldn't ignore the very serious news that a couple of weeks ago, a meteor struck the Russian city of Chelyabinsk, injuring over 1,000 people and causing over $30 million worth of damage. We wish well to all those affected.
The news was even more startling because on the same day, February 15th, the asteroid 2012 DA14 came within 27,700 kilometers of the Earth, a distance that is closer than the orbits of Earth's geosynchronous satellites. The asteroid pass has been predicted, but the meteor strike, which was unrelated to it, was totally unexpected. Two physicists in Colombia have tracked the meteor's origin and calculated that it was most likely one of a family of so-called Apollo asteroids that come from the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter and whose orbits often cross Earth's orbit. A link to their paper is on our website, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.
The meteor and asteroid events, coming on the same day, have raised worries about how we monitor the threat from space rocks. In the movie Armageddon, Bruce Willis famously played an astronaut who saved the world at the last minute by flying out to an asteroid and blowing it up. But in reality, what options do we have for dealing with incoming asteroids if we do manage to spot them? Earlier, I put that question and others to astronomer Edwin Bergen at the University of Michigan, who began by telling me more about the origins of asteroids and meteors.
In the solar system, most of the smaller rocks that are found exist in the asteroid belt. Bodies, you know, meters to kilometers in size, that exist in orbit around the sun between Mars and Jupiter. And in general, asteroids are just the flotsam and jetsam left over from the birth of planets. And then through interactions with Jupiter, some of these rocks get thrown on different orbits, and some of those orbits actually intersect with the Earth. And so the ones that actually make it down to the surface of our planet, we call meteorites. And when they come in the sky, they're called meteors. And the ones that just float right by us, we still call them asteroids.
We saw something that seemed incredibly unlikely a couple of weeks ago, where we had two events, which I guess were unrelated, happening on the same day. So can you talk a bit about the odds of either of these events occurring, let alone them both occurring at the same time?
Yeah, so based upon estimates of the size of the asteroid in Russia, those type of objects hit the Earth about once every 100 years. So the odds of that happening at any given time are low, but, you know, over 100 years, it should happen at least once. In terms of asteroids coming as close as that one to the Earth, I'm not certain what the statistics are myself, but it's not very high. Certainly would be at least equivalent to what we saw with the one in 100-year meteor hitting Russia, probably less likely. And so for them both happening at the same time, it's very, very unlikely. But the Earth has been around for a very long time, and these events will happen. There's lots of things floating in space, and every once in a while, they do come by us. And every once in a while, they come by us in groups.
What do people currently do? What are scientists doing at the moment to monitor any potential risks from such objects?
What we're worried about is the bigger rocks. So the rocks that are, you know, kilometers in size, and if they were to reach the surface of the Earth, they could cause massive devastation. So you think about what happened to the dinosaurs when a very large rock hit the Earth, and it had a significant impact on the dinosaur extinction. We think it was one of the precipitating causes of that extinction event. So we're worried about that because it would be very devastating to the habitability of our planet. It may not be devastating in terms of wiping everything out, but on the other hand, if a large rock fell on one of the major cities, it would have thousands, tens of thousands of worth of essentially TNT equivalent to a nuclear bomb. So we're looking for the big ones. And for the most part, the big ones are easier to find than the rock that hit Russia. That was about 50 meters in size, maybe 30 meters in size. We would love to search for these smaller rocks as well, but to find them, you need to have greater sky monitoring than what we have right now, and probably bigger telescopes as well. And all this costs money. So what we do is we have our telescopes, and they scan the sky repeatedly and look for objects that move with respect to the background field of stars. So stars are so far away that they effectively don't move relative to one another. And any object that we see that does move, we know that it's something in the local solar system. So we monitor the sky, but we have to pay. Somebody has to pay for these telescopes to do this. Somebody has to pay for astronomers to take the data, store the data, analyze the data. And right now, NASA has some efforts directed towards this. But this is a planet-wide problem. It's not a United States-wide problem. And so there have to be more directed efforts. And so I think, you know, what happened recently perhaps should be a wake-up call to the planet that this is an issue that we all should be taking part in and collectively working our efforts together to try and at least make sure that if we get about 10 years warning, that should be enough for us to react and deter an object that could wreak greater devastation.
A question that's been coming up a lot since this has happened, and certainly on our site and amongst our listeners, we've had questions in asking, if we do detect the chance that something's going to happen, and you gave a kind of a 10-year warning time frame there, what could we do about it? Is there anything we could do about it? And I guess as one of our readers asked, can we do anything other than just hurl Bruce Willis in the sky at?
Yeah, well, Bruce Willis isn't going to work on this one. The longer amount of time that you have, the greater ability you have to do small effects on the asteroid that can alter its orbit just slightly such that it would miss the Earth. So if you can go to the asteroid within, you know, a year or two and, say, shoot something at it. So, for example, we had a mission called Deep Impact where we shot something, you know, the size of about a VW bus at a comet to try and expose some of the deeper layers to study, you know, what's deep inside comets, because usually all we see is the surface of the comet as it's evaporating when it goes by the sun. And you, if you can get deeper down, you may get to some original materials. And so we were able to do that. It was a tremendous success. So we know how to do things like that. And so if you can go up to a comet or an asteroid and shoot something at it, you could perturb its orbit slightly. Other ideas that people have is to put rockets in orbit around the comet, and they have a little bit of thrust such that it doesn't escape orbit from the asteroid, but it actually tugs at the asteroid. And just little tiny tugs over time can alter the orbit just a tiny little bit so that it would pass by us just like that other asteroid did a week or two ago.
And so that's, you know, the sort of things we could do if we had a few years to prepare. But with the current monitoring situation, I guess the worry is there any chance that a big asteroid could sneak up on us in the way that the Russian meteor, that was much smaller, sort of caught us all by surprise?
You know, I would say yes.
Yeah.
We're in trouble, right? You know, we're not monitoring enough of the sky. We need complete coverage. We're not doing enough. And what we saw was random crap falling from the sky, right? And so that tells you that randomness happens. And so, you know, you ask the dinosaurs, right? They looked up and said, oh my God, right? So, hey, we can do better.
Thank you to Edwin Bergen from the University of Michigan, who unfortunately failed to reassure me that we are not all going to die. We also have a blog post up by FQXI member and astronomer Fred Adams, also at the University of Michigan, who has calculated the odds of impacts by various sized space rocks for us on the website www.fqxi.org/community.
So they're both at the University of Michigan. What does Michigan know that the rest of us don't? That's what I want to know.